You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a wave.
Surfing!
Give me a city tour.
The trolley!
Give me animals.
The zoo!
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park!
Give me a woo!
Roller coaster!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Ways they burn out their brief candle.
I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost.
Was heard to shout from the car, "He's dead." Whether he referred to President Kennedy or not is not yet known.
In 3 or 4 hours, people must get up and go to work, just as all they had a full night's rest, free from the rumble of...
I am here, in the in-between, to collect their spirits and carry them to what comes next. This road is not on any map. It spans the thresholds between their most forbidden desires and their greatest fear. All I ask for in payment is a tale, an accounting of their lives in the great temporary that is the land of the living. These are their stories. This is the passage. Oklahoma territories. The smell of dirt and wood smoke. Grassland as far as the eye can see. The sky here is massive. Envelops the whole of the earth. And the soil, rich and dark and bloody. We meet someone today who did not choose this land. His land is far to the east, the land of the ancient mountains, worn down by time, of deep, dense woods that cover the land, that cradle its people, that shield them from the great, terrible sky. His people did not willingly leave the safety of their boughs. They were forced west by men who came from over the Atlantic and arrived with their guns and their crosses, bent on subjugating a land that was not theirs for the taking. this man resisted the colonizers. This man rose up and fought back against those who tore his people from their lands. We find him here, in the tear-drenched plains. Suyeta standing dear.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Oh, Gio. Gio. Hello.
Follow me.
English then. Of course, English. I should not be surprised that it has spread to even here. We are on the way to Galanlate, the spirit realm, yes?
Bingo. I'm here to offer you passage.
The darkening land in the west my grandfather told me about. The next plane, the first of the next five. I know this place from my dreams. This realm runs parallel with the other one, casting its shadow there.
We are to begin our journey, yes?
I am old. I have lived enough, but I'm ready.
Well, there is a matter of payment.
Payment. Again, I should not be surprised. But I have no medicine, no tobacco. I have no money, I have nothing to offer you.
Well, you have a story. I wish to hear it.
A story? I won't. Stories I can tell you. I can tell you of the origin of my homeland, how the water beetle came down from the sky vault, then dove deep into the ocean to find the mud that spread the continents. I can tell you how the great buzzard grew tired and flew too close to the ground so that when his wings went up, he created the mountains, and when his wings went down, he made the valleys. I can tell you how the world was cold and dark then, so the Creator sent lightning that blazed a fire in a tree on a nearby island, and how, even though many animals tried to retrieve it, none but the lowly water spider, who made a pot from clay and weaved a basket on her back, could bring the fire to the real people. That's what we call ourselves, the Aniyawiya. It was others that called us Cherokees. The elders told me many stories that I could tell you. Stories that would teach you Kadugin, how we work together for the betterment of all of us, and Duyukta, the right path each one must follow for balance, peace, and harmony. But these are not the stories you want to hear. You look at my hands like you already know what they've done. You want a blood story. Fine, I have one. I'll tell you why I did what I did. And if you think I have done wrong, we will part ways with the knowledge that you have at least heard the truth. From the beginning, we were here. And for thousands of years, we had only two laws. One, do not marry within your clan, and the other, blood law. Blood law meant that if someone was murdered, their clan had the right, had the responsibility to murder someone in the offending clan. It was the way to restore balance. Then the Europeans came. They brought diseases or plants didn't know how to cure. They brought weapons our warriors didn't know how to fight, and they brought their god. They say they are made in their god's image, and so they say they should rule over every other living thing. Well, they are right. They are made in their god's image, and like their god, they are completely insane. They think the world belongs to them. The land, the water, life, us. We couldn't reason with them. We couldn't convince them they were wrong. Still, we tried to get along. Some of us adopted their ways. Men turned from hunting to farming. Women from farming to domesticity. Sequoia created our system for writing. We began a newspaper. Printed in English and Cherokee. We formed a government with a constitution based on the invaders' own. We even mentioned their god in it. And we codified what was already known, that the punishment for giving away our land was death. The white politicians thought the more traditional conservative Cherokees would give up the land, be nomads, hunt, and that the mixed bloods were the ones holding out to retain their power. They did not know that even the Cherokees, who learned their language and studied at their schools and worshiped their god, also wanted to remain. Georgia wanted our land. Gold had been discovered, after all. Jackson said, build a fire under them. When it gets hot enough, they'll move. The Georgia Guard and their legislature provided the heat, and our people got burned. The state passed laws designed to force us away, and the Guard terrorized our people. But with all the theft and lies and brutality, there was hope. The Supreme Court decided that the state of Georgia did not have the authority over our affairs, that it had no right to extend its laws over the Cherokee people. Justice Marshall wrote that the Cherokee Nation was separate and sovereign. He pointed out that we were not savages, but legitimate Indian nations with our own traditions and institutions, that we were and had been treated in the past as equals. Our entire nation rejoiced. The celebration was short-lived. When he heard the decision, President Andrew Jackson reportedly commented, "John Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it." Now, whether he actually said the words or not hardly matters. His point of view was clear. The judgment meant nothing. And that is when some of our most capable leaders parted ways. Before this, John Ross and the leaders of what we call the Treaty Party agreed to fight removal at all costs. But now, if the laws were in our favor and still not sufficient, what should we do? What did it mean to be a loyal Cherokee? What was better? To leave our ancestral lands and live as we pleased away from the white man? And if we did that, how long would it be before they came for these new lands? Or should we stay and fight and possibly die? Chief Ross thought a loyal Cherokee would never trade his homeland. Some others thought that giving up the land was worth saving Cherokee sovereignty and identity against the degradations of the white settlers. I was 12 years old in 1835, the year Major Ridge, his son John Ridge, and Elias Boudinot signed the Treaty of Nui Chota and sold away our homeland. The United States knew the traders represented only a handful of Cherokees and had no authority to negotiate. Both sides went through with the charade. After the treaty was signed by the traders and ratified by one vote in the Senate, there was nothing else to be done. We call it Nanotunatoilu, the trail where they cried. The Trail of Tears. And if you want to know why we did what we did, this is it. The knock on the door came at midday. My grandfather answered it. 30 Georgia Guard were waiting outside the house with guns. They told us we could take what we could carry. I watched my mom decide what we'd bring. When we left the house, they burned it down. My father walked with his arm around my mother's shoulders. She cried into his chest. My sister cried alone. I watched my feet as I walked. I could feel the eyes of the soldiers on the back of my neck, and when they laughed, I knew they were laughing at me, at us. We were held in stockades for months. There was no roof, only large poles in the ground fencing us in. We starved, people died. More people came and replaced the dead. We stayed like that for months. And then, when the mud had dried and the temperatures lowered, they forced us to march. What can I say to make you understand the devastation? To know that you are leaving the place where your ancestors lived for thousands of years, to be forced to leave behind the bones of your grandfathers and grandmothers, to never again see Gedulwam, the mother town. To leave behind your home and possessions, pets and livestock, to have it all given away by lottery, to liars, brutes, and of course, the pain of the march itself. Hundreds, hundreds of miles. It was the roughest on the young, the old, and the sick. Babies were born and died. Aunties and grandfathers carried until they could be carried no longer and then left by the side of the trail. And the coldest winter anyone had seen in years. Supplies limited, disease spread, pneumonia, dysentery, the stench of sickness and death has never left me. At least 4,000 people died on the trail, and there was nothing to be done about it but walk and survive. We met at the council house for the trial. There were 100 of us there. I was among the youngest. Three judges from the clan of each traitor were present. The defendants were not. But what was the dispute? Didn't our laws say that whoever sells Cherokee land without council approval should be put to death? Weren't there signatures on the treaty? What was to debate? What more evidence was needed? Hadn't Major Ridge, as he signed his mark on the Treaty of New Echota, said, "I've signed my death warrant"? What more should we have done? After the men were found guilty, a committee was appointed to plan the executions. Numbers were put in a hat, one for each person present. 12 were marked with an X. Executioner. The hat smelled of horses and sweat. My hand shook as I pulled my lot, and my father and I both pulled an axe. He looked at me with sad eyes, and, "It'll be okay," he said. I tried to say, "I know," but my mouth had gone dry. In the very early morning of June 22, 1839, three separate groups of Cherokees rode out to assassinate Elias Boudinot, Major Ridge, and his son John Ridge. A group of about 30 rode out to Park Hill and hid in the trees near the house that Boudinot was building. Two members of the group asked Boudinot for medicine. It was his job to dispense it to the people in the area. As they walked to get it, one of the men stabbed him in the back and the other split his skull open with a tomahawk. Another group ambushed Major Ridge near White Rock Creek. 5 bullets entered his body. And he fell face down into the creek. Our group arrived at John Ridge's just before dawn. I wanted to go inside, but my father told me to stay on my horse. He and 3 others crept quietly into the bedroom. One of the men had a gun. Justice would be quick. Those of us outside waited to hear the blast and to ride off, but minutes passed and nothing had happened. I dismounted and walked towards the house. Before I'd taken six steps, John Wedge's body flew out the front door and landed hard in the dirt in front of me. Only, he wasn't dead. He tried to get up, but my father ran out the door and tackled him and me both. I grabbed one of John's legs and held on as tight as I could. I could hear John's wife screaming from the house. Then two shadows flitted past me and pushed her back inside. I could still hear her pleas, but they meant nothing to me. All of my energy was devoted to holding on to his leg. Ridge was talking, but I couldn't hear what he was saying. My dad had started war whooping. Maybe he remembered how persuasive John Ridge could be. Maybe he didn't want to hear the screams of pain. He motioned for the rest of us to join in. I tried, but I couldn't. The others had now surrounded us and were circling him, jumping and yelling. Others were helping hold him down now. Then there was a high-pitched scream that split through the whooping and the leg went still. Then I opened my eyes. A knife was lodged in his heart. I slowly got up and dusted myself off. My dad helped me back on my horse. I was woozy from the effort of holding on. And we rode off. Justice had been served. I'm anxious to complete my journey. Are you satisfied now? Well, I don't care if you are. You wanted a blood story, and you got one. I didn't leave anything out. And if I did, it's because I'm old and that was a long time ago. Why are you looking at my hand again? I told you, I grabbed his leg, I held it down. I wasn't even supposed to do that. I was supposed to stay on my horse, but Dad was in there too long and I thought something might have happened, so I got off and walked toward the house, and that's when I got knocked down, and that's when I held onto Ridge's leg so he couldn't kick anyone or get up. Stop looking at my hand. There's nothing on it.
Blood.
Oh, that's just a little cut. And I remember now what it's from. I forgot. I was holding one leg, but his other leg had gotten free, and he must have kicked the knife out of someone's hand. I picked it up without thinking and gave it back, but I accidentally grabbed it by the blade, and it must have cut me, so that explains the blood. Now we can go. You have your story. I'm ready to move on. Stop looking at me like that. But there shouldn't be this much blood. Why is there blood on my shirt? It really was only a small cut. My whole arm is wet. Dad, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. But I was trying to give the knife back, but I feel in the knife. And the knife went into his gut, and I heard him scream like I heard so many others scream and wail and cry. He gave away our lands. He gave away our land, so I stabbed him again and again and again, and one for each sacred place he threw away in the name of their God and their power. But he still cried, so I stabbed him in the throat, and his blood went everywhere. And I kept stabbing until someone pulled me off him, and I yelled my war cry. As one, we picked up his dead body high above our heads, and we held him up, and without anyone saying so, we threw him down on the ground and stomped on him, one stomp for each of the 1 million steps we took away from our home. When we were done, we mounted up and rode to Joseph Lynch's place. He'd prepared a feast from a beef he'd harvested in preparation for our arrival. My father rode ahead of me and didn't look back. When we got to the farm, I ate till I was full. And after a while, I walked over to the shade of a large juniper tree, and I threw up. That's it. That's the story. Are you satisfied now?
I am.
Now, you understand why we did what we did. Can you tell me that I acted wrongly?
It is not my way to judge.
In my last years, back in our homeland east, I think back on the treaty party, especially Major Ridge. Warrior, statesman, trader, and his son John. I remember John Ridge's words in the Cherokee newspaper. Before removal, he said, "You asked us to throw off the hunter and warrior state. We did so. You asked us to form a Republican government. We did so. Adopting your own as a model. You asked us to cultivate the earth and learn the mechanic arts. We did so. You asked us to learn to read. We did so. You asked us to cast away our idols and worship your God. We did so. And he was right. We did so. And what was it for? The white man has severed his relationship with his soul, and he is at war with himself. His soul calls to him from this side, but he can't hear. This is how he became the oppressor of the earth, always taking more and more, an unsated hunger. This is the only way he could allow himself to commit these unspeakable horrors against us and the earth. Madness. You cannot negotiate with madness. You cannot defend against it. The invisible weapon of the white man, his madness, spreads like a curse. His savagery and bloodlust spread. His fear becomes your fear. His self-loathing becomes your self-loathing. His savagery becomes your savagery. His hatred and rage get lodged in your heart like pellets and powder. The more we tried diplomacy with the white man, the more our own madness grew, until we were also at war with ourselves. It is said that we are not allowed to journey on to the next level until we learn particular lessons in this one. If that is true, then the thing I have learned is this. There was nothing that the Treaty Party or the Ross Party could have done to prevent our tragedy. There is no cure for the white man's selfishness and greed. There is no medicine for this madness. But one day, this madness will destroy him, and when there is nothing of earth left to devour, he will devour himself. I hope the Great Spirit lets me see it. Until then, I will wait here in the land of the dead. Do the doggone high.
So he passes westward. The justice he sought was small, but together with a million other drops, it helps the tide to rise. More injustice will be done on this soil by Jackson and 1,000 men after him. In the name of a mad god, this horrid culling is far from over. Countless women, men, and children, elderly and infants, will be massacred. I will pass over this land again and again and again and again, walking with these men, women, children, taken long before their time, and will carry their stories with me long after they have crossed the threshold to the next beyond. These souls plucked from life too early are the heaviest. They weigh on the people and the land itself. They leave their whispers in the wind and wear grooves in the stone as they make their passage.
Passage stars Dan Fogler as the ferryman. This episode features Wes Studi as Suyeta Standing Deer. Written by Michael Owl, with additional writing by Dan Bush and Nicholas Dukoski. Our executive producers are Nicholas Dukoski, Matthew Frederick, and Alexander Williams. First assistant director, script supervisor, and production coordinator, Sarah Klein. Music by Ben Lovett. Additional music by Alexander Rodriguez. Casting by Sunday Bowling Kennedy and Meg Mormon. Editing and sound design by Dan Bush. Dialogue editing and sound mixing by Juan Campos. Additional sound editing by Racket Sound. Our supervising producer is Josh Thane. Created by Dan Bush and Nicholas Dukoski. Produced by Dan Bush. The Passage is a production of iHeartRadio and Psychopia Pictures.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.